Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a custom suit right from home. Fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality, starting at just $499. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
Does it make this week, this work week, easier to take when you know that Thursday, all day Thursday, you could play hooky if you wanted to, or if you work from home, well, boss is never going to know you've got baseball on the TV or on your computer screen alongside your workstation. It's Major League Baseball opening day, and our show question tonight, I pose this to our guest, Matt Snyder of CBS Sports. We did you a favor with some lay of the land scene setting as we get close to opening day. What other day? One day. We're not talking about a week. We're not talking about an event. We're talking about one day on the sports calendar that carries the same buzz and anticipation as baseball's opening day. And this year, it's even bigger than normal, right? Because instead of having an opening night and then an opening day, you have all 30 teams, theoretically, who will be starting their seasons on the same day. 30 for 30 is what, well, 30 on 30 is what I've been calling it, so I remember. All 30 teams on March 30th, which means for those of you who are waking up on your Wednesday, wakey, wakey, for those who are now into your Wednesday, that's it. This time tomorrow, you'll be waking up on opening day. We've got a post up on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, A-Law Radio. We already have a bunch of answers there and on Facebook. By the way, speaking of social, we have just 30 minutes until producer Jay is cutting you off. Questions for Ask Amy Anything, those are required pronto, ahora. You need to send those to either Twitter or Facebook so that he can see them before we get to the bottom of the hour. We've got QB news coming in 15 minutes, so buckle the heck up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, our hump show. I just have a bit of a confession to make. For those of you who have, I don't know if you have Internet Explorer, or maybe you open up a Google on your computer as the server, Google Chrome, something like that, when you go to surf the internet. The Internet Explorer that's on my computer actually gives me, I probably could turn it off, but it gives me an array of stories that Internet Explorer thinks will pique my interest. Now, in case you didn't know how it works, once you open a particular story or a particular kind of story, have you noticed that all of a sudden, stories of that ilk, such a good word, right? Not elk, not milk. Ilk. It's a good word. So much packed into it. Stories of that ilk then start showing up. It's a thing. It's a, what's that? What do we call it when it's a math problem? On Facebook, it's the, you know, the math equation that like shows you only
the algorithm.
Thank you. It's the algorithm. And so once you open up a story, for instance, if you open up a story on fashion or a particular model, or in my case, I've read some of the stories that came out, and this goes back now, months ago, read some of the stories that came out about Tom Brady and Gisele Bundchen's divorce. Now, every single time Gisele breathes, I have a story about it. It's becoming ridiculous. And also, same thing with Tom Brady. Now, I'm okay with Tom Brady stories, or at least I was when he's playing football, because there's stuff to know there. But the stories about Gisele, I'm about ready to block Gisele on my server, because I don't give a crap what she's doing in Costa Rica. I don't care. I don't care why they get divorced. I don't. It's not part of my interest. But for some reason, well, I know why. Because I opened up a few stories going back months ago. Now I get them every single day. Who knew that she was that interesting? So anyway, this Internet Explorer gave me, this is so ridiculous, it gave me a new story on Tom Brady, and it came from Page Six. Jay, is that the New York Post? That's the New York Post, right? Page Six? Can you Google it real quick? It's their gossip column, essentially. It's a little bit like People, but it's the back page of this New York Post. And that's where all the gossip is. The celebrity sightings, who's with who, who's getting divorced, who's getting married, who's cheating on who. It's that type of a thing. Like when Sam Darnold got caught out being a playboy or trying to be a playboy, it was all over Page Six. If you don't live in New York, maybe you don't know about it, but it's a big deal. I mean, Page Six makes headlines with some of its gossip. It's gossipy, gossipy. Well, anyway, this Internet Explorer algorithm gave me a story on Tom Brady playing the field again. Seriously? Like that's what is he the world's most eligible bachelor now? And so now when Tom Brady goes out anywhere, it's because he's playing the field. He's ready to play the field again. So, like a dummy, I opened it up because I wanted to see how ridiculous it was because I knew it wasn't real, right? Tom Brady's not dumb enough that he's going to go out on a date 6 months after his divorce and have everyone see him. So I just wanted to know how stupid it was. It was beyond stupid. It came from Page Six. He was out and about. Is Tom Brady playing the field again? Like, that was it. Is he shopping? They actually use the word shopping. What the hell type of rep? That's just gross.
Assuming he can get whatever he wants.
Yes, exactly. Which may be the case, but shopping? I mean, that's icky. I know he's Tom Brady, but he's still a human being. He's not shopping in a mail order bride catalog.
Yeah, that's not a great word.
No, not just that, but celebrities, I believe, have a harder time finding people who don't have ulterior motives. I would say this in my regard, and I'm not a celebrity, so that's not what I'm saying. But anyone who's a public figure, you very often get branded or you get identified only through your job or through the lens of your public eye. The number of times that I have, and I no longer believe people anymore, but it's happened at least 3 or 4 times that I've been duped by a gentleman who I thought was actually interested in me. And what it turned out was a bet with his friends that he couldn't get my number. Another guy who I won't even go down the rabbit hole, but like just for weeks we were communicating and he had promised me, it was a sports event, promised me, and then come time for us to like actually go, he just disappeared, right? So it was just a few weeks of him wanting to be in touch with me and feel like he was part of my inner circle. I've had another one where, same thing, thought a guy was actually interested in me. All he was really interested in was coming to work and seeing where I work and being part of that and seeing if he could get a job out of it. So those types of things happen to me, and I'm not famous. Can you imagine what it's like if you're Tom Brady? How does anybody see you just as Tom Brady, right? Unless they're also a celebrity and they understand the lifestyle. So I actually feel bad for the guy. I know no one's ever felt bad for Tom Brady before, but I feel bad for the guy. He can't go out anywhere because now he's single. He can't go out anywhere without people, Page Six, reporting that he's out and about and he's shopping for a new wife. Just ew. Anyway, that's the last time I open any articles, because watch now. I'm going to get 12 or 13 articles about how Tom Brady is here and he's there and he's shopping.
Sorry.
And here's the worst part is that after the one line about Tom Brady was out and about reported by Page Six, the rest of the column were these quotes from a model who's obsessed with him. Like, she's got no connection to him, but the story went on and on to quote how she loves Tom Brady and she'll do anything to meet him and she thinks he's amazing. The whole story was her. It wasn't even Tom Brady. It's just like, ew. And then people make the connection like, oh, isn't he dating some blah, blah, blah model? And this is how the truth fades into oblivion and everything that you hear is just simply made up. And it's gross.
Just clickbait.
I'm so glad I'm not famous. I know, but I feel guilty because I fed into the algorithm now. Yep. And I clicked on the bait. And so I feel as though I've added to it. So all that to say, my apologies, Tom Brady. I'm actually on your side, and I'm sorry that I added to the clickbait algorithm. Okay, I got that off my chest. I feel as though I've confessed now. Does it make me sound like a total fangirl or whatever? I wanted to see what it had to say, and I was a dummy. I got duped.
Well, we'll see the next time a mm-hmm. Tom Brady headline comes up on your phone if you click on it or not.
I'm not going to ever again.
You sure?
In fact, I'm about to block all references to Giselle or Bundchen, like separately, so that I never get another story about her. Because right now, I don't care anymore. She's irrelevant in terms of the sports world. she's not part of it anymore.
Unless she starts to date like Peyton Manning or something. No.
He's married.
Is he married, actually?
Yes, he's married with twin. Have you never seen his twins?
Peyton? No, I know Eli has two kids. I don't know if I've.
Oh my gosh, Peyton has a. Have you never seen his two? His little boy, oh my gosh, is like his shadow. He's a mini me. He follows dad everywhere. Have you not seen him like at all these events with his kiddos? Yeah, they're twins. He's got I think they're fraternal. It's a boy and a girl, I think. Anyway, he loves them. They used to show up at press conferences, and they were all around his last couple years playing in the NFL. So, yes, he's not available. Let's not be connecting him with Tom Brady's ex. All right, that's just wrong.
They're always connected on the field.
Right,
so
there you go with your
Plick it
and ticket.
Don't tell me you wouldn't click on that
click
headline,
Click it and click it. No, because it's not true. It's not true. Why are you starting rumors? Someone just tuned in and that's all they heard, and now they're going to accuse us of starting rumors. Peyton, I'm on your side, man. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Don't
again.
Make it up.
Exactly.
Okay.
Thank you. For the one time in the history of the world that I agree with Aaron Rodgers, don't make bleep up, okay? Just the one time. Lose my number. Don't make bleep up, all right? It's not that hard to stick to the truth. You don't know me.
Hey!
Anyone out there miss Monday Night Mannings as much as I do? I miss it. Peyton and Eli ribbing each other. This is somehow going to make the Monday Night Mannings. I just know it. It's my goal in life to be invited to the Monday Night Mannings.
When those guys are on, I do watch Monday Night Football.
You're obsessed with Aaron Rodgers more than I fed for the clickbait. I fed the clickbait algorithm. You are obsessed with Aaron Rodgers drops.
I like Mike Tomlin
better.
Yeah.
I do. He's much more salty. He's saltier, he's spicier. He's more interesting.
I don't know. We got some good salty Aaron lately, so.
I know, but he says the same thing over and over. You don't know me. You're not part of my inner circle. Lose my number. I'm right. You're wrong.
Don't blink. If you're a blinker, cut your eyelids off.
Don't urinate down your leg. Oh, wait, that was Mike Tomlin. Now, see, if Aaron Rodgers gave us don't urinate down your leg, then I might be a little more interested.
Well, he gave us another bodily function, which we didn't appreciate too much.
Stop it. We would never have known about it if you hadn't given it to me and insisted that I play it here on the show. I was so traumatized that I took a week off after that. I was out. I was gone. That was it. I was off.
It was the only way to recover.
It was really the only way to recover. Okay. Speaking of football, Roger Goodell, of course, is navigating, like every other commissioner in sports, is navigating sports gambling. It's now more than half the states in the U.S. who have accepted or have legalized sports gambling. And so you no longer have to go to Vegas, though by all accounts, Vegas is still thriving. How does the league explain suspending a player for a year for a couple of prop bets? Though he did bet, in fact, on the NFL. That's Calvin Ridley. But yet turn around and get in bed with all of these various daily fantasy leagues and promote sports gambling on its products nonstop. How do you draw the line? Is it hypocritical that to take the money from sports gambling and to promote it the way you do, but to penalize your players so heavily? And how can you be sure that your reputation is not at least under a microscope or question because you are so big on sports gambling? It's one of your business partners now, and yet we are supposed to believe that there is nothing untoward about the way that these games work out or the fact that gambling is such a big priority with the NFL.
I think we've been very measured in our approach. As you know, we're responding to changes that were made in our country and in the laws. And we obviously are being very consistent with that. But we've, from day one, also said that we want to be very cautious in protecting the integrity of our game. I mean, ultimately, making sure that that's done correctly and that our fans have confidence in that and our partners have confidence in that. But it clearly, for an element of the population, is something they're interested in doing. We want to make sure that whatever is done properly, effectively, and safeguards the game.
He's not really going to give you any information, but at least he and the owners are cognizant of how it looks. It does at least call into question And I'm not saying that it's reasonable because the league and its business partners are separate from the officials that are on the field and from the rules that would govern the integrity of the game. So you can keep them separate. It is possible. At the same time, of course, when the league goes all out to accept the money that comes from partnering with sports betting organizations, you've got to be very careful that you are above board in every way, that you are above reproach in every way. Otherwise, you're going to be accused of taking the money. And then, all right, wink, wink, nod, nod here or there. We're going to make sure our sports gambling partners get what they need. It's just, just be careful. You get in bed with fleas, will you end up with fleas yourself? And I'm not associating sports gambling with fleas, only that you got to be careful who you do business with and who you get in bed with. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Still ahead with Roger Goodell. We're kind of sprinkling them in here. The talk about the Commanders. I'm not sure if you saw that there are bids to Daniel Snyder. Now, he's not accepted one yet, but there are bids to Daniel Snyder to buy his team for $6 billion. It's the B word, $6 billion. You may remember that the Denver Broncos were the most recent NFL franchise to sell, and they sold to the Walton Penner family, so that's the Walmart heirs, for, was it $4.5 billion? $4.65 billion, that's the number. So get that. That's a franchise that has recent Super Bowls, or a recent Super Bowl, Super Bowl 50. I know they've fallen on hard times, but they still sold for $4.65 billion. I mean, that's a franchise that has an incredible fan base, a lot of support in Denver. The Commanders in the nation, well, near the nation's capital with their iconic history, even though it's been a long time, $6 billion is one of the reported bids. My eyes are popping out of my head. It doesn't matter how a franchise might be run into the ground, what the previous owners did, what its reputation might be, how long it's been losing. Think about the Commanders. When was the last time they were good? I know they made the playoffs a few years ago. That was 2020, right? But they had a losing record, and they won based on the defense. They haven't had a starting quarterback since, is it Kirk Cousins, the last time they had a viable, stable starting quarterback? And they, you know, they wanted him out of town. $6 billion for a franchise that is definitely at a low point in its history. It's why companies, individuals, billionaires want to get into the NFL because it is a cash freaking cow. Coming up, we've got QB news, including Kyle Shanahan weighing in on Trey Lance versus Brock Purdy. And does anyone out there want to trade for Lamar Jackson? Thanks for hanging out with us. It's good to have you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Hurry back to throw. And it is.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a fully customized suit right from home. With dozens of high thread count fabrics, patterns, and colors to choose from, Indochino lets you fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose fabric and customizations without leaving the house. Or book a showroom appointment and let Indochino's dedicated style guides help you and your wedding party look flawless for the big day. Their experts have been dressing grooms and groomsmen since 2007. And with suits starting at just $4.99 and fitted shirts at $89, Indochino is bespoke without the premium price tag. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's INDOCHINO.com, promo code podcast.
Is it lost? Oh my goodness, it's lost! DeAndre Hopkins caught it!
Back from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it! Touchdown, LA!
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's got it!
Yeah.
Touchdown! Joe Burrow in the the Bengals.
Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Kansas City.
And off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it. End zone. Touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Bring it. Let's go. We heard from the Jets as well as from general manager Brian Gutekunst of the Packers on Monday about Aaron Rodgers. Still no trade has been done. If you're wondering what the holdup, well, you can check out our conversation with Rob Motti of the AP who joined us Monday night. Or there's a report out there that there is one more concession the Jets are seeking. So you can do your homework there. Packers are ready to move on to Jordan Love. That part we know. Can you imagine what he's thinking and feeling these days, waiting for some type of a resolution? Here's Matt LaFleur.
I think he just wanted to know what was going on. And, you know, for a long period of time, I couldn't even tell him because I didn't quite know where it was headed. And, you know, it just... I think there's obviously some clarity to it, but, you know, nothing's final yet.
Some clarity. I love that. Except here's the thing. The question still remains. What if the deal doesn't get done between the Jets and the Packers? Would Aaron Rodgers then return to Green Bay? Remember that whole flap with Brett Favre where he decided he wanted to unretire, but they'd already moved on to Aaron?
That's all between Joe and Goody. I'm going to leave that one to them, and you know we'll coach whoever's on our roster, and we're going to coach them as the best of our ability, and always going to put the best players out there that are going to give us an opportunity to go win football games.
I love Matt LaFleur's initial reaction about what if the trade doesn't get done? Hands up in the air. I got nothing. That's not my department. Don't come asking me that question. That is not on me. So for the Packers, they await the consummation of the deal. Yes, they're moving on to Jordan Love. Now, the other big quarterback story in the desert has been Lamar Jackson and his revelation on social media that he asked for a trade, that he wants out of Baltimore, and he did that before he even received the franchise tag. I thought John Harbaugh handled his business very well, but here's what happened in the wake of that. Every team that doesn't have a viable option or a returning option at quarterback or hasn't named their quarterback had to answer questions about Lamar Jackson. Would you be interested in Lamar Jackson? Ron Rivera was quick to respond for the Commanders, and no was the answer, but here's why.
You look at what the impact on your roster building is. What were the assets we'd have to use to get him? What would the financial impact be? I mean, these are things that we have to think about separate of anybody else. This is why we did what we're doing. Okay, we were able to keep the defensive line guys that we have in place. We've got a couple other guys we got to think about on the defensive side. Three guys, actually, that we really feel are part of the core that we're trying to put together. You know, we want to build up the offensive line. We got some dynamic playmakers. So we're in a position now, if you want to do something different, it may impact those dynamic playmakers, that front that you're trying to build. I mean, we are roster building, I think, for the first time. And feel really good about being able to do the things that we're doing right now.
Fourth-year head coach Ron Rivera of the Washington Commanders. I always enjoy hearing him talk. I worry, though, that the Commanders are stuck in QB purgatory. It's becoming like the Colts or the Panthers. They cannot get a viable option. They just keep turning it over and turning it over and turning it over. Well, to hear Ron Rivera talk about Sam Howell, you would think they have settled on the man for the team.
I don't think this is as much a wild shot as people think it is. And again, part of it is because you watch a young man like Brock Purdy have the season that he had last year, and you would like to think, wow, we have a guy that's got the same type of ability and skill set.
In Sam Howell, that's who they believe will begin at least OTAs, potentially training camp, as QB1. And if not Sam, then who? All right, Taylor Heineke's gone. You cannot fall back on Taylor Heineke anymore. this is, right now at least, Sam Howell or bust, unless they would make another move. But Ron Rivera is saying, we don't have the money. We can't afford Lamar Jackson. And that's part of the issue. Think about Major League Baseball and free agency. When a really high-priced player becomes available, there are only so many clubs that can make that pitch for him, because sometimes a lot of the other teams are priced out. Well, that is the case with Lamar Jackson, especially this late in the game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Moving from there to another franchise, which will be going with a young QB. And again, it comes with a caveat. We're not interested in Lamar Jackson. Here's Arthur Blank, the owner of the Atlanta Falcons.
I think probably most importantly for us is that, you know, we drafted this young man, Desmond Ridder, last year in the third round. And I think he's continued to show everything that we expected of him and maybe beyond that, to the point that Coach Smith and the staff, and including Terry and Rich, and we all feel comfortable that he should be our starter going into this next year.
Desmond Ridder took over in week 18 for the Falcons, if I remember correctly. I have no idea where Marcus Mariota is now. Eagles! Is it Mariota with the Eagles? Oh my gosh, sometimes the info I pull from the nether reaches of my brain impresses even me. So, Marcus Mariota's gone. He was Arthur Smith's guy. Remember, after Matt Ryan got traded to the Colts, Arthur and Marcus had a pre-existing relationship. It did not work. I mean, let's be fair. The Falcons are starting to get stuck in that QB purgatory unless Desmond Ridder works out. That's the owner of the Falcons, Arthur Blank, on our Atlanta affiliate, 92.9 The Game. That's Dukes and Bell. All right, continuing with our QB news here, jumping over to the AFC East. Mac Jones only finished up year number two for the New England Patriots, but a lot of chatter about whether or not he was a misfire by the Pats when they drafted him 15th overall in 21. It would have been in 2021 when he fell to them, right? So Robert Kraft being asked about his young QB.
I see him as a very hardworking young man. He's in the stadium almost every day now in the off season. I think bringing in Bill O'Brien, I think will work to his advantage. And yeah, I'm very positive and hopeful about this upcoming year.
Robert Kraft holding court at the owners' meetings. I got to tell you, I'm still so envious of the fact that he said yesterday on Monday, I just want to one time be able to say this: Bill Belichick makes the decisions for my football team. I want to be able to say my football team. It'll never happen at $6 billion per pop. It'll never happen, but still, it was kind of badass of Bob Kraft. Staying in the same division, I love this from Brandon Bean, the general manager of the Buffalo Bills. There have been some criticism that Josh Allen is not a long-term viable quarterback because he very often leads his team in rushing. He takes a lot of hits. Now, Bean on SiriusXM NFL Radio agrees that Josh has to be smarter and that they've had those conversations with him.
If he was sitting down here with us right now, he would say, yes, I know I should have run out of bounds there. Yes, I know I should have slid right there. But he gets in the moment, and he is so super competitive. Yeah. Part of the reason I love him, he hurt his arm in the Jets game, and we weren't even sure if he was going to be able to play. He got cleared on Friday before we play the Vikings at home, and the doc that cleared him said, hey, listen, very limited. Obviously, it's not flag football, but as few hits, he's talking to Josh, as few hits as you can take is super important because you're going to be very sore, and you know we're going to have a brace on it. You got to be smart.
Brandon Bean on SiriusXM NFL Radio. I don't love that Josh leads the team in rushing. I think that still they've got to have viable running backs to protect him. But, man, he's a load. I mean, he's the same size as Cam Newton, for heaven's sakes, maybe giving up a few pounds. But he is a beast, and I love to watch him play. Such incredible instincts. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Circling back, I told you, Kyle Shanahan, in the wake of John Lynch saying Brock Purdy is likely our number one going into training camp as long as he's healthy, Shanahan on Tuesday asked about Trey Lance and whether or not it's over for what it will be a third-year quarterback.
Brock played in 8 games, and, you know, Trey had that job going into last season, and if he would have played 8 games like that, no one else would have been able to come in and beat him out. But with Brock being hurt, it does open him up and does give him a chance. Now, I don't know how Brock's going to come back. I don't know exactly when he's going to come back. So I don't have the exact answer for that. But right now, because he is hurt, it's nice to focus on Trey. It's nice to focus on Sam and see how they do OTAs and most likely see how they're playing leading us into training camp.
Kyle Shanahan at the owners' meetings. One more with him, and this is about the addition of Sam Darnold. It's so funny how everyone now is labeling him the veteran in the room.
Sam has as good of a skill set as there is. That's why he went as the third pick in the draft. When you study his play, you can see it too. I don't think he's always been in the best situations, which it's tough for quarterbacks. It's tough for all players, but it is one position, and it depends on the other 10 guys around you too. And I think Sam has played and done some really good things in this league. Hasn't won a ton of games and been thrown in some situations where you're going to keep both teams in the game because you got to keep slinging that ball and give yourself your team a chance to win. And so you don't always have the best stats, but you see the ability. And he's always had that ability since his first year in college when we started watching him. And there's no reason he can't do it.
So Sam Darnold, we'll see whether or not he gets into any games for the Niners, but I am happy for him that he has a fresh start with a winning franchise. I'm rooting for Brock Purdy. It's not that I don't want to see Trey Lance succeed, but what we saw from Brock, Mr. Irrelevant last year, such a great story, and he's such a good young man. Man, you remember during the NFC Championship game where he got hurt and George Kittle was trying to make light of it. Hey, can you throw lefty? Can you go lefty? Brock wouldn't even smile. He was so devastated that he couldn't be out there for his team after was a separate, the elbow injury. Remember he got smacked by Hassan Reddick? No. Who was it? I'll remember. It was a while ago. Anyway, he was so devastated he wouldn't even take off his helmet the rest of the game. That's how upset he was that he couldn't play for his team. Love him. Cannot wait to see him healthy and out there again. And I feel like he's the perfect match for the Niners because he's not trying to be dumb man. He wasn't some highly touted prospect. He just wants to win. He wants to set up his teammates. He wants to play, and he calls it a dream come true. All right, we've got a couple of minutes left. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We're going to do as many as we possibly can. And while you are on our Twitter or our Facebook page, I think it would be cool if you would tell us what day on the sports calendar has more buzz and anticipation than baseball's opening day.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
Before I answer your questions, I'm asking you a question. What day on the sports calendar has more anticipation and buzz than opening day in Major League Baseball? And this year, all 30 teams on March 30th. So that question is up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. We're glad to have you with us. It's the Hump Show, middle show of the work week, ushering in your wacky Wednesday. And producer Jay has got your questions. So away we go.
And of course, we have to start here in honor of opening day and our question. Al wants to know, what is your favorite ballpark food?
Oh my gosh. I love sausage and peppers, if I can find them. Not every place has sausage and peppers. Now places have sushi. It's so foo-foo, depending upon where you go. Always will take some chicken fingers and fries. Oh my gosh, love chicken fingers and fries. At Citi Field, which happens to be my personal favorite when it comes to food, they've got a Shake Shack. So you get a burger, you get fries, and you get a delicious chocolate shake. So I'll take Shake Shack. I don't know if it's anywhere else at any other ballpark. And then here's what you gotta have, especially if it's a hot day. One time I went to Nationals Ballpark with my nieces. First pitch, 99 degrees, 90% humidity. We ate for dinner, ice cream, and an upside-down baseball helmet. That is classic at a ballpark as well.
You really cannot beat soft serve ice cream in a baseball helmet.
Can we have that when you buy the tickets for the game that we're going to, since you are going to lose our March Madness bet? Actually, I don't think you are, but if I buy the tickets, you're buying the food, correct?
We could work something out like that.
Oh, we can work something out? Okay.
Ice cream helmets? All right.
All right.
Also, just did you know that Yankee Stadium has hibachi, by the way?
Stop it. Who can afford that at Yankee Stadium where the parking is $40 if you drive? No. That's right. Dumb.
So, sticking with the baseball theme here, CJ asks, if you were about to take an at-bat, what would your walk-up song be?
Now, see, that's tough because it has to be like a really peppy song that gets people fired up. But at the same time, it needs to fit me. So I would need a little more time to think about it. But I'm thinking something along the lines of, see, Billy Joel's too old school. I can't. I need some, because I love you may be right, you may be crazy. Actually, you know what? Emotional Girl from Terry Clark. It's an oldie, but it's a goodie. It really does describe me. Sometimes I laugh, sometimes I cry, sometimes I do both, and I don't know why. I'm an emotional girl.
No, let's go hit a home run.
No, I'd have to think about it because I need something super peppy. Maybe some JT. Is there some JT out there that could get me like really fired up? Something with a real like intense drum type of a solo or feature at the beginning. I don't know. I'm going to need to think about it. But I do have favorite artists. It's just, and I have songs that I feel like fit me really well. I just don't know if they'd be great walk-up music. But it needs to be something that's recognizable in a couple of notes, right?
It doesn't have to
be. I'm a big country fan. So I could see some Tim McGraw, give it, you know, a really, like, sweet beginning to it. I don't know. I mean, I need to think about it.
It's whatever you want. It's your walk-up song.
Thank you, Jay. I appreciate that. But it has to be something the audience, the fans can connect with. Hmm. You don't want to be made fun of. In fact, what does Aaron Judge tell us? That is the biggest decision of spring training. It's like more pressure to pick your walk-up music than any other decision. Forget the size of your bat or your superstitions and how you wear your hair or whether or not you wear the long pants or the short pants. Nope. You got to pick your walk-up music.
I will say a good walk-up song is incredibly recognizable,
yes,
and it gets the fans going.
Exactly. So I got to come up with one.
All right, last one here with baseball. Greg just wants to know, do you play fantasy baseball?
Not fantasy baseball, no. I tried it once, and after week three, I'm so sorry I lost interest. It's every single day. I cannot keep up with it. If fantasy football was every single day, I wouldn't be able to do it either. I just don't have time for fantasy when I have to deal with real sports. So, yeah, it just gets kind of boring. It's monotonous after a while. So I didn't really enjoy it. Jay's a master at it, though.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Trying to defend my title.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll move on here from the baseball and go back a little bit to one we just went to. So Chris asked, this kind of ties nicely, who's your favorite 80s singer? Talk about walk-up music.
My favorite 80s singer.
80s singer.
Whitney Houston was in the 80s, right? Or no, she's the 90s. Okay, Whitney Houston's one of my all-time favorite artists. I dearly miss her, and I'm so sad over how her life and her career devolved, but I do love her. I would also say there was plenty of, like, I wasn't into country in the 80s, but there was some good stuff in the 80s. Forget country. I loved Madonna in the 80s. I don't love her current stuff or even really her last 20 years. She's gone off the deep end like her former husband, Dennis Rodman.
I saw her in the news actually like this week doing something kind of strange.
That's all she does now. Yeah. She's an attention whore. That's all she is. And so, sorry for using that word. She's gross now, but I loved her music in the 80s. She was fantastic. I was always sneaking her music in the 80s. I also loved in the 80s, Boyz II Men. Was that 80s or 90s? Loved Boyz II Men. They might have been 90s.
They could be early 90s. I'm not sure. It could be late 80s.
So I love that. And also Chicago with Peter Cetera. I was like a total sap. It's like rom-com music with Peter Cetera in Chicago, but loved it.
Nice. All right, this one here. I like this one. Missy asks, what do you think is a unique skill of yours that has helped you become successful?
In this business?
Yes, in this business.
Well, I'm relentless. I don't go away. I don't give up. I'm not done with this business until I decide I'm done with this business, though. I've been fired multiple times and been dropped from rotations, been told I'm no good, been told I can't ever get any better, been told a company's not investing in me anymore, yada, yada, yada. I mean, I won't go away. But I would say my number one skill is passion. I have a passion that gives me adrenaline. So even when I'm extremely tired, I'm still here. I still have energy. Also, that passion fuels me when things are tough and when the hours are long, but also when I feel like all hell's breaking loose behind the scenes because we don't have enough support, because the equipment has failed, we don't have an engineer to help us. It's just Jay and I now. We started out with a crew of four. Now there's two of us. But every single night when I turn on the microphone, everything else fades to black because the only thing that matters to me is I get to do what I love every single night. So that passion has carried me now for 30 plus years. And I would say whether it's a skill or whether it's my ability to channel that passion into really good radio, I'm also I'm a perfectionist, which is impossible in this business, but I'm always striving to get better. I'm never satisfied. So those are a few qualities. Plus, of course, I can talk. So I guess if you're looking for my actual skill, is there anyone you know who can talk as much as I can? Can I tell you about this recent comment I got from the new man in my life? We'll call him Bob. we were on the phone. So we can get on the phone and 3 hours feels like 5 minutes. I'm just being honest. We have long conversations. And he says to me, and I don't like to do that on the nights I work. He said to me recently, I don't know how you could talk for 3 hours on the phone and then go talk for 4 hours on your show. And you know what my response was? Are you ready? It's my gift. So thank you for asking. Those are a few of the qualities I have. Maybe not all skills, but definitely gifts from Jesus.
All right, let's see here. Mark wants to know, what was your favorite show or shows in high school, like TV shows?
Oh, gosh. I love Charlie's Angels. I may have been on reruns. I don't remember exactly. But Charlie's Angels, Wonder Woman, the show with Linda Carter. It was the coolest thing ever when I won my Gracie Award. She was sitting at the table right behind me. We were back to back, and I got a chance to talk to her. She was next to Pat Riley, which was really weird. But anyway, got to talk to them both. So definitely the old Wonder Woman. I had Wonder Woman underoos. No, there are no pictures. I love Charlie's Angels. I also really love The Bionic Man. That was an older show. Brady Bunch was okay. It was kind of corny, especially the one after, like, the tarantula in Hawaii. I never want to watch again. And Scooby-Doo. My brother and I watched Scooby-Doo all the time when we were kids.
Following up on that, Brian asked, do you watch any of the NCIS shows?
I do. I love NCIS LA. That's my most...
That's the follow-up.
That's my favorite one. Okay, so that's my favorite one. I love Kenzie and Deeks. By the way, Kenzie, Danielle Arua, is the one who does the best Super Bowl commercial special every year with Boomer. So it's kind of fun. So that one I love. I also watch the original as well.
Last one here, I think, before rapid fire. Rich asked, have you ever played bingo?
Of course, with my grandmother at, you know, some church basement somewhere, sure.
Have you ever won at bingo?
I don't think so. I think my grandmother beat me and beat everybody else at bingo.
Actually, one more here. Aaron wants to know, I know you like Star Wars. Yeah, he says, I know you like Star Wars, but do you have any memorabilia?
Well, I have this incredible poster that's signed by Carrie Fisher. It's a limited edition. It's now framed. I had to get a custom-made frame for it. It was a gift from a friend named Danny, and it was a total surprise. So it goes back to the original Star Wars. It's an early poster, and it's a limited edition in Carrie Fisher's name. He gave it to me after she passed away. It's framed on my wall next to my piano.
I've seen it. It's incredible.
It is incredible, yes.
All right, we'll close it out with rapid fire.
That's the only reason Jay was invited to my house is because I needed to show off my Star Wars poster.
It worked. Salmon or halibut?
Salmon.
John Wick or Jason Bourne?
Ooh, Jason Bourne.
Manatee or cow?
Oh, manatees are so gentle giants. They're beautiful. I love the water, you know.
Bar of soap or shower gel?
Shower gel.
Keep a secret or tell a secret?
Keep a secret.
Purple or yellow?
Purple.
Work on cars or work on airplanes?
Work on cars.
Last one, snowfall at night or rain in the morning?
Snowfall every time. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a custom suit right from home. Fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality. Starting at just $499. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's INDOCHINO.com, promo code PODCAST.